Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there on Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. On one hand, you got the dreary weather, so that's a thing. On the other hand, though, four dead squirrels. They're just laid out bodies. Let the bodies hit the floor. Bodies on the squirrels. Because the story, for those new, by the way, welcome. But the story is, I bought this place. Late May, I closed. Doing all sorts of maintenance. One of the maintenance points that's near and dear to my heart, because I'm good at it, better than the average, is landscaping, lawn care, perfect lawns. Picturesque, lush lawns. I believe in lawns. Imagine my shock when I'm noticing that there's just weeds that keep growing and I can't stop them. I do spot sprays and I'm pretty good at that too. And yet they just keep popping up. And then I notice there's these burrows. There's these little small burrows dug into the lawn where it looks like there's just small holes, right? I do research and I'm looking at the neighbors and I see the neighbors are just weed infested messes. And that was a point of pride for me, but I didn't understand what was going on. Well, I do research and turn, and I noticed one day the squirrel, and he's digging around in the lawn. And I figured it's a one-off. Okay, maybe just an insect. They do that. But it's constant. It's every time I turn around, there's a squirrel, he's digging in the lawn. And in the back in particular, and then in the front to a lesser degree. Well, that's not going to work for me, brother. And so now it's war. Because they leave the home alone. They don't go in the attic. They don't go in the basements. They don't go anywhere else. They just mess up my freaking lawn. And I'm sorry. My lawn is near and dear to my heart, and I'm not going to allow some rodent to damage my lawn that I've worked so hard to get to be perfect, best on the street, as everybody says. So I get this trap, right? And the trap tells me, okay, this is guaranteed to take those little peckers out. All right, well, I'm skeptical, but I got the trap, and initially, I didn't have any success. There was a little bit of collateral damage. I'm not going to go any further than that, but there was a little bit of collateral damage with it. I set it up again. Okay, this time, it's sitting for a couple days, didn't get any hits. On a random Sunday, I happened to go outside, and I noticed there's a little furry something poking out the front of this thing. Now, this trap, it's a snap trap. It's got a little place for, you know, bait, which is nuts. I have some trail mix. Okay, but there's a little fur, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. And I'm hoping it's not the collateral damage again, because that would really piss me off, because I can't tell from where I'm sitting. Go closer. No, that's not the collateral damage. This is something else that's furry. And I go a little closer, and yep, that's one of these bad boys, dude, that was digging in my freaking lawn. He's taken out, neck just taken out. Oh, yeah. Well, now I got a problem, because now I have to carry this thing and get him out of the way and then reset the trap, because I don't know how many of them there are. So I dump him into a place that's kind of out. It's still on my property, but it's out of ways. Next day. Okay. So this is now today, this morning, early morning, set the trap in the very like 7 a.m. in the morning. I check, nothing. Okay. No problem. Maybe I'm done. Maybe there's only the one. I go to my meeting with my client. I get out the meeting with the client. I check the trap. There's another furry thing. Okay. Huh. Cool. But I checked where the other one was. So I wanted to make sure that he was still there or that, you know, being devoured or whatever happens. And it's gone. The first carcass is gone. Like, what the hell is going on? Okay. Now I'm questioning myself because I don't know. Did this guy reanimate and he came back and got his neck snapped again? That seems kind of weird because this is a pretty dangerous trap. So, okay. Well, I take this one and I dump him in the same place I dumped the first one. But I marked him. I marked him with some castor oil, which basically darkens whatever it touches, so I could be aware if he's reanimating himself. So I'm just not sure at this point. Reset the trap, set it back out there. Not maybe an hour later, boom, another one snapped. I had just stepped away, and then I looked at it, and then there's another furry something. Okay, this repeats. And then finally, I caught one, and I saw a little tiny one. And I watched him, and I'm like, yes, my precious. Yes, go to the little, and it was like, wow. And then I see him, he's struggling, and then he just goes, and then goes dead. Amazing. Yes, the kill shot. So point is, there was four of them that I have accounted for, four of them, I should say. Five total, debts with this trap. Amazing, but I still got work to do because these badasses are not going to be tearing up my lawn, and I'll take even every one of them out until we're done. Meanwhile, while I'm dealing with the fiasco, I'm thinking about cryptocurrency as we're doing a run-up. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about Ethereum in particular, but I also have a lot of news bits that I want to cover and make sure I get the full spectrum of what's going on because I want to get caught up with what's going on out there. Coindesk.com, we're going to zoom out to the month chart again for Ethereum first because I love what I'm seeing. Whew, Ethereum, it was down. It was like 2,200, 2,300, now up to 26.5. Over the past 24 hours, between 25.9, so just shy of 2,600, a high of 26.70, hovering around the 26.5 mark as I record, but really good run. Not as good as I'd like it to be because, again, this spiked at like $4,800, so we got a ways to go. But I'm still happy to see that it's recovering somewhat because it seemed like Ethereum was just not getting the same play that Bitcoin was getting, and it didn't make any damn sense. And I'm happy to see a little bit more movement for the Ethereum side. Conversely, though, the Ethereum ETFs started to struggle. Bitcoin ETFs had strong inflows where Ethereum ETFs had strong outflows, which contradicts the price movement that I saw for Ethereum specifically, but I still think that the ETFs, both of them, are good investments and they're worth getting into, and I would not freak out about their price movements because they're going to go up. They're going to be strong, like fundamental investments in a portfolio, in a diverse portfolio. I strongly recommend getting into both of them if you can. I'm only in the Bitcoin ETF for now because I wanted to watch what Ethereum was going to do, and the Bitcoin ETF feels like it had more of a foundational for the way I'm doing my trades. So I just stuck with the Bitcoin ETF on Fidelity specifically. But I would recommend getting into the ETFs wherever you can because that's going to be the safest way to invest in the short term, at least until we figure out what's going to go on with the election and see who's going to be the next president, see what the policies are going to be. Bitcoin held low of 62.7, high 64.6, hovering around the 64.2 mark as I record this. Bitcoin had a run up as well. Bitcoin, of course, was down. It was going like 55, 54, and then ran back up to 58. Then to 62, and then people speculated we might be headed back up again. But I also think some are looking at it in a different perspective. They're looking at it as a bull run where I think we may head back down again. I could get it wrong, entirely possible, but enjoy it for what it is. Take profits for this opportunity. Take profits everywhere that you can because you've earned it. You've been waiting long enough. So it's up to you if you want to gamble and roll the dice. I'm saying that these are opportunities for you to get profit out of your investments because we don't know exactly how long these are going to last, but it's up to you what you do. Meanwhile, lawmakers are talking about stablecoin regulation. Specifically, Kamala Harris had talked about, okay, she's going to do stuff for digital assets and her administration is going to try to get some regulatory clarity. And then Maxine Waters, you know, I'll take Trump out myself. That's Maxine Waters. Came out and said, we need some bipartisan regulation support for stablecoins. And we need to get it by the end of the year. That's not going to happen. Quote, Mr. Chairman, before the end of this year, I want us to strike a grand bargain on stablecoins and other long overdue bills. Since 2022, we've been working tirelessly to reach an agreement, have both made concessions, which is not true. So what does that mean? This is not talking about the CBDC. This is talking about just generally stablecoins. And the bottom line of what they're trying to do is make sure that stablecoins are always pegged to fiat. So these algorithmic, so you can look at it as they don't want algorithmic stable coins because they have been the least stable of all different types of crypto assets that are out there. They want them to be pegged to fiat so that they can control it. That's the bottom line of what that is. We have to see where that one goes. Meanwhile, Gary Gensler from the SEC testified before Congress earlier, I think it was late yesterday as well as today, talking about the regulation by enforcement that's been happening. Now, even people within the SEC themselves have acknowledged that they've taken a heavy-handed approach to what they call a loose interpretation of the law. They basically acknowledge everybody other than Gensler, I should say, acknowledge that they could be educating, they could be clarifying, they could be writing better rules, they could be taking a different approach, but they have not done. Well, since they know that, but they're not doing anything about it, it makes me wonder, okay, well, if you know that, how come you're not doing anything about it? Jokers. I don't know what to think about that, but Gary Gensler himself just basically said it's in the letter of the law, and he's not going to change his stance, so we got to see where things go from here. Telescam has bowed down to the master, and they're going to now be sharing IP addresses, which is coming from your internet provider, as well as your phone provider, and phone numbers with authorities when they are requested. So this is a shift from the privacy-minded focus they had before, where they refused to release any of this information. They're now going to divulge your information, so when you want to be on Telescam trying to rip people off, it's going to be possible. I can't say guaranteed, but possible to track you down a little bit easier. They're also going to be releasing additional aids for moderation, both using automation as well as human-based moderation to try to aid in the suppression of illicit material on the platform. So I'm celebrating. I think it's good. I know some people are pissed off. They don't like it. They want it to be super private so they can rip people off on Telescam, and I understand. But I celebrate this. I think it's good. I think it's what they needed. I think it's a step in the right direction. Now, of course, how effective is it going to be? Who knows? I know that you can still use Telescam without a phone. Without a SIM card specifically. So to understand the technology, a SIM card is provided by a given mobile carrier. Mobile carrier activates the SIM card, which allows the SIM card to authenticate to the network, which allows you to have phone signal. However, there's multiple ways to have a phone number without the need for a SIM card. And that's how people are getting around the loophole that is. So they can still issue the phone number, but if it's one of these digital services, it's going to be very difficult to trace the person back. There's tons of services out there that don't make it easy to trace where that person is coming from. Spoofing is the thing with phone numbers. So how effective will it be? Who knows? With IP addresses, easy to bypass a VPN. So maybe it's a bunch of ado about nothing, but I do think it's a good step in the right direction for them to show good faith on the heels of Pavel Durov getting arrested out in France and showing that they want to be a legit organization. Whether they're going to, you know, fully legitimize, I doubt it. But again, anything is better than what they've been doing. So I'm perfectly fine with what I see here. I want to talk a little bit about Solana. Just a little bit. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. Solana has gotten a lot of hype and a lot of focus from a lot of people for meme garbage. However, if you think about where we are now versus where we are before, it used to be that the Binance Smart Chain was the go-to for these garbage tokens. In 2021 in particular, Binance Smart Chain was the go-to for this crap. We've shifted. Solana was in this recent run that we had was the go-to for meme garbage. We saw tons of meme tokens spin up on the Solana chain, bringing it to its knees, arguably. That has died off somewhat. There's still meme garbage out there that was kind of left over from before, but it's kind of died off and people have now moved over to Base, which came from Coinbase. But there are also tokens that are showing up on Avalanche. There's tokens showing up on Tron and others, because they're just jumping to the new shiny. They're trying to appeal to different people and different audiences. And one of the, I guess, dissenting arguments against doing this is how difficult it is to get into some of these chains. I watched a video the other day, and they were talking about, you know, the Phantom Wallet, how easy it is to do a trade, and it trades right away. And yes, for the most part, that's true, but it's still a pain to get into this stuff. So I would not say that it's simple to get into a lot of these different chains. Is it, you know, impossible? No, but it's certainly not the dirt simple that, like, say, Ethereum is. So with the Solana, there was at some point, an effort to try to make it easier and more accessible to get into it. Then when people started going to other chains, that effort started to dwindle. There no longer was a push to make it easy to get on Solana like they had started doing, and instead they focused on Base in particular and saying, here's an easy way to get into Base because it's this type of chain, it's better interop with Ethereum, and so a lot of the focus goes there, a lot of the garbage goes there. Doesn't mean that the garbage isn't still on the other chains. So the summary of what I'm describing, there's a shift in what people are trying to get to be successful in this next run. They're no longer focusing on any one chain is what I'm getting at. They're kind of tiptoeing into multiple different things. And it may be more difficult for you to find different projects that you want to get into easy because they're going to be all over the place. And most importantly, not on the central exchanges, because a lot of these assume DCIM. SHIB, the Shibarium, and the SHIB ecosystem recently talked about the same thing I criticized Richard Hart about, which is they said, no, get away from central exchanges because they're all crapping and they're all scams and this and that, and you should be decent. I'm going to say it. Decent is not the answer. It's not going to be answer. It sounds good, right? But we don't have decent. There's no such thing. All these exchanges that are not centralized exchanges are still centralized in some form because there's some company behind them. It's not like you could not be, you know, completely blacklisted. You could. It could actually happen. You could have your money stolen from an exchange. It's not, there's no such thing as decent. So we have to stop saying that. So when I hear the SHIB team and others talk about, no, you should just be decent, it's a pipe dream. It's never going to happen. The central exchange is where the volume is going to be, no matter what. And for the run that we expect, whether it's a garbage token or not, those central exchanges are going to be the key. There will never be, if I'm on record, there will never be a world where we have decent and the ability to do transactions to the degree that we do with central exchanges around fiat. And fiat's not going to go away. So when I see people leaping, let's say Tron, I'll pick on Tron because it's the low-hanging fruit. Tron is probably the least accessible chain that I can think of. When I see them leaping on for these garbage tokens to something like Tron, and I understand that a lot of those tokens are never going to be on central exchange. These are ones that are never going to succeed long-term. They're just going to flounder. And we're going to see a lot more floundering, which is just going to dilute the market. There's only so much money spread around because we have not enticed more people into cryptocurrency. Now, long-term, does that resolve? Who knows? I doubt it, but who knows? I would like to see more than what I am seeing. But today, right now, this is what it is. Well, I went to CoinMarketCap and I checked out the community. So I was trying to do some more research as I usually do on a weekly basis around Solana tokens. And is there ever going to be another resurgence of tokens on Solana as opposed to these other chains? Because Solana feels like the next best accessible chain that there is. Not, I don't agree that Base is, but some people think it is. I don't think it is. Regardless, allegedly, there's still as strong interest in Solana as a chain for garbage. There's still crap tons of volume flowing through it. So I don't think Solana is at a point of demise. I don't think Solana is going to decline. And I'm curious to see what happens with Solana-based garbage tokens during the next run for Ethereum. Because the one thing holding Ethereum back at this point, other than idiot Vitalik dumping on your head, is gas prices, which Solana doesn't have that problem. Speed, Solana doesn't really have that problem. Stability is probably an issue. But we also have to look at things like NFTs, which are there, I wouldn't say making a resurgence, but they're still kind of floating in the ether, available for people that are interested in it. And the next era of run-up is going to be intriguing, to me at least. And I would hope it's intriguing to you to see what's going to happen with this business. I am watching it carefully, but again, I don't follow crypto close. I watch it from a distance so I can cover it and talk about it. And there's a lot going on, especially as we lead up into the election season. There's a lot going on. I'm going to give the same advice I always do. My strongest advice to you is the DCA strategy, especially now. So in a DCA, if things are going up, you should be selling for profit if you already hold it. If you don't hold it and you want to hold it, I don't recommend buying it when it's going up, but you might. I don't recommend doing so. If it's something that's been way down, like Avalanche was way down, probably okay, because it's going to go at least double what it was. But I wouldn't, like SHIB, I wouldn't recommend buying it something like that when it's on the way back up. Not until it's gonna go back down again. And that's what I would consider buying in. Then you're waiting for, as it goes down, you possibly buy more. This is a DCA strategy. You possibly buy more to increase your position. When it goes up, you sell for profits. That's what I would recommend right now. Big picture, though, what does the future hold? Nobody really knows. They can say they do, but they don't. You know, we expect that Bitcoin is going to go up. We expect Ethereum is going to go up. We expect all these are going to go up. But what does that really mean? Nobody knows. Nobody can tell you what that ceiling is. Nobody can tell you what the top is. Nobody can tell you what the end game is. We can speculate on what we think it is, and we suspect where we're going. But all you have to do is what makes sense for what, however much money you got in it. So in other words, if it makes sense for you and does not put you out, whatever you think is best makes sense for you, If you need assistance, as in you just don't know where to go and what to do, and you're not really sure what the best answer is, without any specificity, if you're just talking generic strategies, you can always contact us. CryptoTalk.fm, hit the contact form, and we'll do the best to help you out. We can't tell you about specific trade strategies, but we can tell you about general tactics and techniques to deal with situations like these. Triad members do get specialized recommendations if you do sign into the Triad, and that's on the site as well at the top. But for non-specific, we're always happy to help out because we know it's a challenging time, especially if you're new to it. And we've had people reach out that say, you know, I'm new to it and I don't even know where to start. There's a lot of information out there about how to start. But the simple answer I can share with you is you need a wallet of some kind. If you don't have a wallet or don't even know where to start with a wallet, I'm going to always point you to Coinbase Wallet. Because Coinbase Wallet strikes me as the best beginner wallet, even though I think it sucks, but it's the best beginner wallet out there. Well, if you go with Coinbase Wallet, you might as well go with Coinbase Exchange just to get started because there's a synergy between the two. And that's a good tiptoe into just general cryptocurrency trading and getting learned. And they have a lot of learning things and learn and earn stuff and things to get your feet wet in it. And again, there's an interplay with the wallet to help you get accustomed to that, you know, your own custody of tokens. That's where I would always recommend people start, just to kind of get your taste of it. Once you start talking about some of these, and they expose you to the base chain as well. But once you start thinking about some of these other garbages that are out there, it's a little bit different because you're going to need to master staying safe. Staying inside an ecosystem keeps you safe, but it also limits your risk on purpose. That means that you can't get into the gambles. And so if you're trying to get into some of these other ones that have stronger potential, you got to understand that's your risk going up. Now, if you're okay with it, then you take it to the next level. You learn about what's out there and how to do basic trades, things like Uniswap, things like PancakeSwap, CowSwap, and other types of dApp swaps that are out there that are independent that let you trade pretty much all these other tokens on different chains. But that's where you're going to be at risk, which is why many of us don't give specifics about how to do it, because if we did, we're setting you up as a trap. So we want you to learn how to do it. We want you to stay comfortable and safe as well. But at the same time, we can't tell you specifically, go here, go there, because what if some person tells you to click a link or something that's a sketchy link? You just don't know. This is the reality of it. But we understand that people want to get into it. It's a difficult balance for us, people that do coverage for it. So I would say, in my opinion, if you're new and you don't know where to start, I'm going to always steer you to Coinbase and Coinbase Wallet just to get you started. Learn the ropes. Learn how to get into it. You will have to do KYC, which gives you identification, you know, links to upload your ID docs. You will have to do that to do trades, but you can do basic trades. You can purchase, you can store, you can stake. You can do all sorts of basic things just to learn how they work. Once you start getting into the more diverse sets of desire, if you want to get into some of these tokens that Coinbase will not list, then you're going into the descend side. The descend side is the Wild Wild West that we talk about. And if you're truly feeling like that's where you want to go, again, I gave you some names, Uniswap, PancakeSwap, CowSwap. You can search those out and do some research on those different interfaces and how they work. Just make sure you're careful and don't throw more money you can afford to lose, because the moment you do that, you have a stronger risk of losing all your money. So make sure it's throwaway. If you're going to play that game, make sure it's throwaway until you get comfortable. You just, you know, I don't know anybody listens to Blees, but, you know, he got hacked multiple times. So, and he's got 30,000 people. So high follower influencers get breached and hacked, and that's that Leister's never had. But you know what I'm saying? So that's the kind of thing you got to watch out for when you're doing this journey. It's because you don't know, and it's easy to be tricked into something. As I close, the whole Trump, you know, World Liberty Financial, whatever that is, project. And apparently he's going to go forward with this business. Apparently it's going to be a governance model. It's not going to be sold open market. It's going to be kind of a closed market type of situation and some sort of I don't want to say banking, but it's got a financial aspect to it that is close to AVE, A-A-V-E, in the model of lending and that sort of thing. So I wish he had just simply purchased like Phantom or something instead and rebranded it and did something that way, as opposed to spinning up something new, because I think that has a strong risk. not just because it's him, but, you know, you got to think with him going through the election process, right? So let's say he gets it. Let's say he wins. He's not going to be able to run it. He's not going to be able to be in front of it because he can't as president. So then what happens? Well, it goes to his kids. His kids aren't nearly as savvy as he is. So then, okay, what if it craps? It's going to fall back on him. And then you're going to have Pelosi and Schumer and all these other ones coming after him again. And I don't want to see people who they believed in him. And then something happens, it craps. And then now it's irretrievable money somewhere stuck, which happened. Genesis, right? All I was saying is I wish he had just bought something existing that was already solid and stable and proven and simply rebranded it instead of starting something new. We're kind of too late. So time will tell what's going to happen on that business. One little closing mark. I want to make sure I get this in there. I just thought about this. I have been working extremely hard on my endeavor to stabilize from what happened off the pandemic. And I said, I'm recovered from the pandemic. I can safely say now I'm recovered from the pandemic. But there was a point where I was in a very difficult spot. And I got help from like government, but I didn't get help from any individual on purpose. I did not ask. I took a loan, but I paid the loan back. That's a loan. But I didn't ask for any direct. I didn't ask anybody to give me any money. I didn't ask anybody to let me stay there. I didn't do any of this stuff. Once I got back to the point I can say I'm no longer at risk because of the pandemic and because of what the government was doing during the pandemic, one thing I committed to do was to try to help people because I knew that others would be at risk because they don't make as much money as I do. And I didn't want to turn out like a Diddy situation, you know, where I'm just exploiting people for things. I wanted to be helpful. I wanted to be able to assist people that were in need. That inspired me then to create the show. Crypto Talk Radio, founded CryptoTalk.fm. It inspired me to create the show to help people online. Some people took advantage of it. Some people didn't. That's fine. But just to level set, a lot of people out now that are doing coverage do not have your best interests at heart. So if anybody's telling you, I don't care who you listen to, but if anybody's ever telling you, you should get into this, I recommend you get into this, I recommend you get a bag of this, you know, you're missing out if you do this, do not have your best interests at heart. They might think that they do because they might legitimately be confident in the project, but they don't have your best interests at heart. Because steering you to a certain project is exactly why we're in the situation that we're in now. Where in 2021, that's exactly what was happening. You think of Saitama and all down the wrist, you know, they tell you to get into something and then it craps. What happens? We lose trust. If we lose trust, it's hard to get it back. So I am going to continue my pattern of trying to help, which is why you'll never hear me tell you to get into a project. I might talk about a project, and I've purposely not talked about any token project because most of them are crap, you know, so I haven't. I look at what's out there and I'm looking for something that's serious, but either I should clarify, they're either crap or people online think that it's crap and they're trying to get ahead of it. Like say Blockdag. I haven't done any talk about Blockdag other than the coverage of CryptoJ. But I didn't talk about it because I'm looking at it. And I'm like, okay, it seems too good to be true from my eyes. But people online say that it's a scam. I forget the guy's name, but he does coverage. He thinks it's a scam. Reddick, multiple people think it's a scam online. This Devi that I hear about, people think it's a scam. So it's possible people just think everything's a scam these days. That's entirely plausible. Or it's possible that they legitimately are scams. I don't know. But that's why I haven't talked about projects, because I'm not trying to steer you or even tempt you to get into something that's going to wreck you. So I'm sorry if that's what you wanted out of the show. I don't do that because I'm purposely trying not to entrap you into something. And I hope you can appreciate where I'm coming from with it. Believe me, if there was something solid, I'd be the first to be talking about it. I haven't seen anything solid yet. They all look like crap. For either my own eyes or other people's eyes. That said, as an impassioned plea. If there is something that you'd like me to talk about, CryptoTalk.fm, hit the contact form. And I'm happy to talk about it, take a look at it, and do at least a brief overview of those. If you truly think it's something, not if you think it's crap, but if you truly think it's something, I'm happy to talk about it and give that feedback. I just don't want to be the one leading in to something that might end up wrecking you, because there's a lot of crap out there, especially now. There's a lot of temptation to FOMO, and I don't want to see people out there get this stuff jacked. It's a challenging time. We're going back up in price. That means there's going to be a lot of scam garbage showing up, I guarantee you. It's only going to get worse where it gets better. And I don't want to be a contributor to people losing money.